ndithi ro vha ṱanganedza. We welcome you and the leadership of the SABC. We welcome you to this engagement. I would like us to start and start in the usual way, acting DG. Let's introduce ourselves. I only know Kaiser. The rest I'm not sure. People can introduce themselves. Well, the police are here today, not to arrest any one of you, don't worry. You may be arrested, but certainly not today. They're not here. They're here, introduce themselves. And then comrades can also introduce themselves so that we at least know who is here and we can get going.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Good morning. I am Norman Mjerere, the acting DG of the DOC. I will allow my colleagues to introduce themselves, on starting with the acting GCO.
Good morning, Chair, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is James Aguma. I'm the acting GCO of the SABC.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Audrey Rappel. I'm acting chief of SABC.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Besi Tugwana. I'm the acting COO at the SABC. Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Sandile Nene. I'm the minister's advisor.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Dikeledi Chendisa, the CFO
Comrades,
of the Department
please,
of Communication.
Comrades, please, people are introducing themselves to you. Can you repeat?
Thanks, Chair. I'm Dikeledi Chendisa. I'm the CFO for the Department of Communication.
Comrade, please.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Elvis Makamu, Administrative Secretary in the Minister of Communication.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. My name is Lebo Mufokani. I'm the PLO for Minister of Communication.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. I am Major General Manopi from TCI. Thank you very much.
Morning, Chair and members. My name is Ayanda Kwishe, SABC's parliamentary liaison.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. My name is Kaiser Khanyago, spokesperson, SABC.
Good morning. My name is Solich Tangano from National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Lindy Webai, SABC company secretary.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Teresa Haldness, Group Executive Governance and Assurance.
All right. Thanks, comrades. May we introduce ourselves.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Nyamezi Rugoi, member of the committee.
Dumela modula stulo le bitso la ga ke sa ke ke ka ke le loko la committee ena.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Tabelo Chilwane, member of this committee.
Morning, Chair. Ntabise Nkuno is my name, member of this committee.
Ngiyathokoza sihlala igola ngomkhulu ohle ngalaleli committee.
Molweni Gamala Mtombofu Yomende, member of the committee.
Good morning, David Ross, member of the committee.
Right. Thank you very much. I'm Comrade Temba Godi. I chair the committee. Acting DG, and CFO of the department. I'm happy that you are here. We know the challenges that are facing the entity, the SABC, broadly and generally. And I'm sure that your continuous assistance and being close by would go a long way in ensuring that we're able to move out of the shadow. Now, before we get into the substance of the issues, may I request that we switch our cellular phones off, please, so that they don't disturb us. Well, we have written to the SABC requesting this engagement today on the basis of the reports of the Auditor General, focusing specifically on irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This engagement has nothing to do with any other engagements that relate to the SAPC. It's something we decided in October last year, so we were just way, way down in the line of those who should come. I'm sure you would have seen every other entity that appeared before us. The issue was irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure arising from their annual reports. The figures speak for themselves, and I think as the leadership we equally appreciate that you can't have those kind of figures, and they do not mean anything to Parliament or to oversight, and even to yourselves, because they talk to your internal processes, they talk to adherence to processes, they talk to a culture of operating on the basis of established regulations and the Public Finance Management Act, which has been around for quite some time, and which we expect that every entity should be able to operate under its guidance. So we have requested that we need to have this engagement. Two comrades have been allocated to engage us on this matter. But you see, acting DG, yesterday when I left Parliament, I had this document from the SABC, which is a presentation on the matter. And the very first paragraph was a bit of a challenge for me, you see, because whilst it explains what we expected and requested, you see, I need this man's attention. Now, you see, that opening paragraph explains the things that we have requested from the SAPC in relation to irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The date of the incidents, the companies involved, the responsible officials, what they have left out is the action taken in cases where wrongdoing was found to have been committed by officials. But then it says the corporation is currently in the process of investigating and or ascertaining the root causes of such irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and it is therefore currently impractical pending the finalization of investigations until ABCD. Now, for me, the implication of this paragraph was that, well, maybe we should not meet. If this was a letter sent to me, I think it would have been better, because it is saying the things that you want us to come and discuss, we're not able to deal with them. But if you come just to tell me that, you know what, I don't have those details, so what must we do? But, abracadabra, I see that there is a big document with those details. Where is the document? When was this sent? It was only sent last night. I understand. With these hundreds of transactions, it was sent last night. Now, so I don't know what you expect us to do with these documents that I'm seeing here and now. With this reader unfriendly font, which probably only Google can read. Can't read this. So, but I'm saying this for myself. I'm not saying this for the committee, because as a committee we have not spoken to them. I'm just saying, so we're starting on that not so good note. But having said that, Comrade Boy Shengwa were allocated to look at the documents that we had at hand and to take us through. So what I'm going to do, I know Mr. Aguma is not the CEO. I think there's a G at the beginning. I just don't know what it means, but I know he's the Makulubas, the man at the helm. Right. No, it's fine. So, my understanding of the PFMA is that in the absence of the board, he is the accounting authority. So, he is the man who should assist us. Sure, the officials that are here to assist you. And the department, the CFO, and you, acting DG, representing the shareholder, must assist us to make sense out of things that do not make sense to us, because you are the parent department to whom they report and who monitor the work that they do. Right? Shengwa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, honorable colleagues, and the delegation from the SABC. Chair, let me at the outset very clear. You spoke about your difficulty of reading the small font. I won't venture into that, but I want to speak about my own difficulty. I always endeavor to try not make a fool out of myself. Now, honestly, if this document arrives last night after I've long departed Parliament and prepared on the basis of something else, I just wonder whether the SABC delegation that's here, in fairness, thinks that any of us here can do justice to this long list, long is an understatement, of things that are here. That's just the first concern, because I want to say that I don't think we've been taken seriously for us to be able to execute our duties in a manner which will enjoy the public confidence. Because now if I come here now, I start scratching on the surface and try and look relevant and try and look smart, I'm making a fool out of myself, and I most certainly don't want to do that. I'm not going to make a mockery of this process. This document, as thick as it is, who's going to be able to go through this document in 12 hours if it arrives last night? That's the first point, Chair. Secondly, Chair, I want to go to the paragraph in which you spoke to. Whether the corporation is currently in the process of investigating and or ascertaining the root causes of such irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and it is therefore currently impractical pending the finalization of investigations until all officials involved are, one, positively identified and afforded opportunities to make representations and or acknowledge responsibility. Now, already our basis of departure is a grey area. Which for me says this exercise, as far as I'm concerned, is being taken as just ticking the boxes. No, we went to SCOPA, tick the boxes, go through the motions, and so on. On what I really see to be a flimsy attitude towards what we are trying to do. But so one will endeavor to try and look at this, but I just want to say at the outset, I personally believe that we are not being taken seriously. And I'm not sure whether this exercise is going to achieve the results which it is intended. But Chair, let us...
I think it is only fair to afford them an opportunity to talk to the issues that have been raised. They set the tone and the basis of any further engagement. Let's get that position clear. Mr. Guma, what is your position, acting GC?
Thank you, Chair. My position is acting Group Chief Executive Officer. The G stands for group.
GCEO. All right.
Yes, sir.
It's fine. Can you talk to us to these issues that have thus far been raised?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm going to start by apologizing profusely for two things. The first one is submitting the documents late, and the second one is also...
For that one, don't apologize, just explain why.
And I will explain that opening paragraph.
Right.
Chairperson, if you allow me, the explanation will probably make sense if I can give context to the exercise around the disclosure of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful, such that I can, when I explain that paragraph, you can put it within context. If you allow me just a few minutes to explain the process that is unfolding at the SAPC to deal specifically with irregular, fruitless, and wasteful. Chairperson, the SAPC got its first qualification on irregular, fruitless, and wasteful in 2008. Then in 8-9, the financial year 8-9, that was the first time the SAPC got a qualification on irregular, fruitless, and wasteful. We are aware that the PFMA was promulgated in 1999. The first policies on supply chain. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
We really don't need a lecture. Can you lecture somebody else? You know what is going on. Can you give an explanation why is this documentation late than the narration that you're studying? Why not your children here? If you want children, go to school. We have members of parliament and we want you to tell us why is this documentation late? We're not here to be lectured about what is in the PFMA. We know you've got it. We're going to interrogate you to it. We've got it here. We don't need all that lecture of yours. We want you to tell us what happened. Why is this document late? We've got work here as members of parliament, not to come and listen to you. In fact, you left yesterday in the portfolio committee. That's why the media is saying that you are very clear that you don't worry about this irregular expenditure. You don't care about these things of fruitless work. You made it very clear in the portfolio committee. That's your attitude.
Okay.
Explain your attitude. That's what I'm interested in.
All right. That's fine. I was just a little more patient. But the issue really is, why did the information come late? And of course, the concern in that paragraph, that is it indeed so that we cannot go into the specifics of the irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because it has a bearing on how we proceed with the meeting. That's why I said if this had come to me as a letter from you to say, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but you know, this is my situation, I think for me it would have been better. But anyway, let me hear you. Just zoom in pointedly.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. The reason why this information came late is that we had to look at the quantum of information that we are trying to work through to disclose the opening balance of irregular expenditure for a financial year 2016, and that opening balance arises from a regular expenditure that has been misstated for many years. So we have a basket, we have a lot of information that we are working through. So it was work in progress. I asked them to go and make sure that they can compartmentalize this information in a manner that the committee would be able to understand, and that is the reason why.
Okay.
We delayed because we had to go through this information.
Okay. All right. Yes,
Chair. The opening paragraph of the presentation that we received says that an investigation is underway. Okay, fair enough. Now, if that's the case, surely then this information should have long been prepared in any case in order for the investigation to have any substance and framework. You can't still be collecting information as of last night. I cannot, in good faith, accept that as an explanation to say information was still being collected. What informed the basis of the investigation? Because my next question will be, how long has this investigation been underway? If information is still being collected of what it is. We're speaking here of a closing balance of the 31st of March 2016. Today is the 1st of March 2017. It's a good 11 months. You're still collecting information 11 months down the line, and you use that as a basis of giving us late information. Even that, I think, is an explanation that seeks to undermine this comment.
All right. Comrade Boy.
You know, sir, what you must do to yourself is to be a little bit honest with us. You see, you are not talking about your personal money. This is the fiscus. This is money belonging to our own people. You know, this problem doesn't start yesterday. It started in 2014. So to you, that how you have spent the fiscus is not an issue. That's why you don't care that what, how to explain back to the public how their money has been spent. It's not your money. We want to know from you, since 2014, you've been seated on these reports, knowing that you've got an irregular expenditure, which has now culminated to 5 billion, and you want to tell us that we should have just been patiently seated here as members of parliament and concede that you, as people are working for the SABC, are comfortable about this type of expenditures taking place and money being wasted of the public, not yours. If it was all around, a problem. But this one is a fiscus, is an expenditure belonging to our own people. How do we explain this thing? And you see, you even say in your own statement that even to take consequences, it's a tactical move. I'm coming to that one. I've read your statement. I've been following you quite consistently. I've listened to you even within during the ad hoc committee. But we're not going to go there. We want to know the rand and cents. That's what we're interested in. And you can't tell us since 2014 you have been preparing people to prepare reports. That's quite horrible, sir. You can't, as this team of people, I mean, who are highly educated, you assume that parliamentarians must just come and you have got your own way of running this institution. And 5.1 billion is wasted. What type of an attitude is that one when you call upon us to be accountable?
Comrade Mente. I'll come back to you.
Chairperson, I just want to point out that I don't see us having any grounds to continue because, one, in his own explanation when he started, he said this thing started way back in 2008. And therefore it means their filing system has been there in terms of cases or whoever is dealing with the investigation. And it cannot be difficult to consolidate that information because you just go to the person who's doing it. Unless he tells us that SABC never did anything until such time that SCOPA told them to go and do something about the 5 billion. And it's not going to help us. Watching media after the outcomes of the Auditor General, the acting CEO bragging about the 5 billion being nothing. So it boils down to us not getting the information. We are not going to get the information. And we're not going to talk to this information because we're given this information late, deliberately so that it can inconvenience us. And we are not going to continue and entertain them because we cannot be inconvenienced so that we do not get to the root of the problem. Thank you, Chair.
Ross?
Chairperson, just to make the point that the annual financial statements is done on an annual basis. And from that annual basis, you see the regular expenditure on a yearly basis. And on a yearly basis, the audit outcomes of every entity and department needs to be presented to Parliament. So collating the basket of, a whole basket of information that you need to put together, it's really senseless. If you have to address your irregular expenditure, it needs to be addressed on a yearly basis. And now collating all the information, perhaps you're in the 31st March 2016, 5.1 billion rand of irregular expenditure, horrific figure. It needs an immediate action on a yearly basis, and that yearly basis should have started in 2008-09, where there was a regress, and then improved regress, improved. When did the investigation start? Is there any investigation? I think we need to be honest, as my colleague said.
All right. No, I'll come back to you. I just want to hear, just to have a sense. Comrade Kekane, Comrade Kuno, Chirwane, Boy, and then we'll go back to Shengwa. So we, yes, Comrade.
No, Chair, mine is, I also don't understand what the SABC is saying to us. Are they, by implication, suggesting that when they received the audit outcomes from the AG, they did nothing that is on the report? Because that statement clearly says that to us. Because I think Ross is correct to say you get these statements every year. And immediately after receiving the statement, as an entity, you need to immediately act on what the AG is raising. And that information should be readily available, that is, to any organization. Now, for the SABC to say to us they've been scratching around, that is, for information, that poses a serious problem, that is, to me. Please clarify that issue.
Okay. Comrade Kuno.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think my first problem is everybody who's acting. And I wanted to know, I was a little bit curious from the beginning when they were introducing themselves. When did they start acting those positions? At least we know from the acting COO when she started, because it was public knowledge. But again, you know, in other committees that I've been part of, Chairperson, when we receive a document a day or a night before we are supposed to interrogate an entity or a department coming before us, we'll tell them to go back home. And I'm really tempted to agree with my colleagues to say, go back home. But again, maybe if we give them chance, you know, because from the you know, if you have done something wrong, showing remorse is something else. To say, I have done something wrong, and this is what I'm going to do, going behind, you know, trying to rectify the mistake that I've made. Now the acting GCEO says to us that they've been having an audit opinion since 2008. And you can see that the financial health of SABC from 2008 to date, it's not okay at all. And then on top of that, they have a fruitless expenditure of 5.1 billion that they've not prepared for. In other words, if we did not call them for this meeting, we would still not have cases being, there's no cases here that have been investigated. So it means somebody in their work, they are not taking their work seriously, and they really want to waste our time and waste the taxpayers' money. We're paying SABC license every year. If you don't pay, you pay penalty. So we want to know the penalties that they're going to pay today. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I couldn't agree more with what colleagues have said, because if you look at the SABC in terms of the annual reports dating back from 2014-15, 2015-16, 16-17, it's the same audit qualified by the AG. And when you also look is that consequences management at the SABC doesn't work, and as well as the PFMA is not adhered to by the SABC. But now the main question that you have to ask, because as a committee we deal with runs and cents, I agree that probably maybe they should go back and prepare a little bit. But the problem is money that has been spent for them to come down here with the little work that they prepared to come and present to the committee. What I wanted to suggest, Chairperson, is that maybe we should talk to this irregular expenditure that they have incurred, and other matters probably we could say they could come back, prepare thoroughly for the report so that we're able to interrogate and discuss the way forward. That is my take, Chairperson, on the matter. Thank you.
Good point.
No, I do sympathize with my colleagues. But I just wanted to say to my colleagues that, you know, you are seated with a problem that you would have to put on top of your shoulders and carry them, like we did with Correctional Service. Because so to be honest, that's why I wanted you to be a little bit honest with us and don't mislead, because misleading Parliament in itself is a charge. Can I just verify, Chair, where is the Hawks? Where have you sent them on holiday since we started this term? You must give us an explanation.
Okay.
Oh, you call the Hawks? Oh, have you seen? Oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to see. Sabo, we are now in 7 days. You see, Chairperson, sending them home, when the Auditor General says to us, when they arrived at the SABC, they couldn't find accounting document that could be able to tell us how the 5 billion was spent. You see that thing? They go to this thing where procurement is taking place, paperwork has disappeared. So even the Auditor General is going to struggle like us. He won't be able, because he's in collusion with the type of work that they're doing in the SABC. where they hide and burn papers, you see that thing, and making it difficult for institutions that are credible, sir, the Auditor General, for them not to be able to take up the notes of the work that they are doing. That should be embarrassing to leaders of the SAPC. When an Auditor General comes and says, how did you spend the 2 rand of the taxpayers? There's no paperwork to do that. That's where this thing originates from. This conduct is an old conduct. It's not new. This thing was innovation last night, you see. But at the end of the day, the SABC, within its own conduct, they do this thing consistently of hiding information from the public. They call for public transparency, and they hide the information. So you can send them back 10 times. They won't come back with any information because they don't have the information with them. You see, that's the challenge that we're having as parliamentarians. That the information provided, it had to be provided because on his word, Mr. Aguma, is to say that even to take consequences on people is a tactical issue because it creates fears amongst themselves. So in collusion, so anyone who corrupts and eats and chows the money of the public, to him, it's a very nice thing for the stability of the SAPC. We should not make them to fear. We should not make them to run around. That's what he says, and he told his portfolio committee yesterday. That's why the word compliance to him is novice. He doesn't know about it. What he knows is how to make sure that the SAPC assist each other in how they spend and they go about chowing the money of the public. For them, on his natural conscience, it doesn't work. So I'm just pleading with you, Chairperson. Let's continue with what we have. And the SABC, clearly in our program, is going to be here every Tuesday to come and explain this story. If they don't have paperwork, they'll have to continue digging and bringing that paperwork back to ourselves. I would have to talk to you about programming so that the SABC remains our priority in sorting out its problems of how does it account to the South African public about the money that they're spending. It's not their money. They're not generating money. Because even in how they are in association with ANN7, they were at a loss there. We want to hear these stories properly. We are not the ad hoc committee. So what I'm asking with you, and what I will appeal to colleagues, let's sit on their necks. Let's not move. Let's sit on them. Whatever they provide, if you are not satisfied, we'll call them to come back every time until we are satisfied that the SABC can't spend and chow 5 billion of our people. And the next thing, they come and sit here like innocent people who seem to be in a church. They're not in a church. Okay. We're not in a party here. We want to hear, how can you go about 5.1 billion being finished and you don't have paperwork to support that mechanism? Okay. I'm pleading with members. Let's go for them, Chairperson. Let's not leave them at home.
All right. Comrade Kuno, now because you're the person who is on the stage.
Thanks, Chairperson. What I wanted to add on what Comrade Nyami has said, I think it will be better more, Chairperson, if you go to SABC's offices, literally so, if they cannot even keep records and if the records keep on disappearing, it means there's a serious problem at SABC. And I think us as COPA, if we want to get into the root causes and into the root of everything, we need to go there physically and check what is the problem, what's causing the documents to be lost when they are supposed to investigate.
Lengwa, just a minute, Lengwa.
Chair, much as I agree with my colleagues, I think we all agree that we have received this information yesterday. It is true that we are not going to have a fruitful discussion, but my plea would be, that is to the colleagues, let's allow them, that is to take us through what is in the document and the engagement that we might have. And as that is Honorable Boy has indicated, from there, then we can, that is, recall them and deal with some of the issues that they have indicated in that document. Sending them away, I don't think it would serve any purpose, because that in itself, it would be a wasteful, that is, expenditure.
Okay. Then what?
Chair, I think
one message at the outset needs to go out to the SAPC, that in the sea of public finances, the SAPC is on an island of exclusiveness. That you must be clear here and now, that here at Scopa there's no kids club. No, we're not here to be nice. 5 billion is a lot of money. And I am not going to accept a willy-nilly approach in terms of how it is dealt with, because it speaks to a lack of systems, and furthermore, it speaks to a lack of leadership. I think, Chair, when the PF, when the findings, you know, PFMA, Section 51, 1B2, and the Treasury Regulations are speaking about frivolous and wasteful expenditure, those are the basics of any person in leadership who should be at hands, who's hands-on in terms of their duties. Can't be on holiday. That's why Chair was saying, I refuse to make a fool out of myself. So I prepare and take the job given to me seriously. And any other person who doesn't do that is making a fool of themselves. So, Chair, I'm just interested to find out, because I'm most certainly not going to dignify this document and try and drill into it. I'm not going to do that. I've just skim-read through it here. There's traffic fines here on end. People just driving willy-nilly as if it's their own vehicles. I'm not going to do that. But I want to speak to systems, chapters.
All right, let's do this. Before you get, because I think my acting DG, my take from what my comrades are saying is that we are going to take a long-term view of dealing with the issues that are here. We are not going to have a once-off engagement and say, go and sort it out. We are going to be with you until we are satisfied that things are indeed changed for the better, which means constant and continuous engagement. What Comrade Kuno was suggesting, that we come to the SAPC, we do whatever, I think we'll work on that. We've done that before with a department that never had an unqualified audit since 1994, but at least last year they celebrated because we had this kind of intensive engagement with them non-stop. But before we start, because you see what it means is that the things that have been written here, we're going to read them, but not for today. And then we're going to engage. Because as you say, there's a traffic fine. I see there's a lot of SAA, people who did not go to board their flight.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it should take you to investigate who was that, why it happened, whether they should pay back the money. If I can use that word, pay back the money, if they can pay back the money, or whatever should happen. You see, there are... the hiring of cars, the whole page or pages on car rentals. Who rented the car? Where were they? I mean, those are... You see, I don't want to blow your cover, Mr. Akuma, that you actually worked at the Auditor General. So you know these things. You were the Auditor General. You audited. So it's not as if we're talking about things that are strange to you. But I wanted us to do this, comrades. The acting DG is here, and the CFO. I would want the CFO to talk to us about these things. You are there. You are the parent department. What do you see? What do you hear? What are you doing? What have you done? Or maybe no. May not give you. Sit and listen. We'll come back to you later. Once we've gone with these people. I want to give Lekwa to start. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted you to, within our plan that we're going to do, let's use the forensic experts of the Hawks to be able to give us capacity to be able to go through this type of report. So that we start from the start, helping people means to go to the DG. If you rely on them, they'll be misleading you and lying to you. With the Hawks, you'll be able to get to to the bottom of the thing. Can I persuade you, Chairperson, that we in any delegation, in any work, if you could do an official letter to the WAP to ask us to give us the expertise of people who can go and investigate. It can be 5 billion, and we treat it as a joke. 5 billion means a lot for the taxpayer. We could have built quite a number of houses, could have sorted out a number of roads in the rural areas. I'm just asking
right.
that.
No, that's fine. And what?
Chair, what I'm going to attempt to do with your guidance is to sort of frame the challenge which is there so that as the committee moving forward, we can be able to see which areas need focus. So I'm not going to ask very pointed questions to the 5 billion rand, which in our view is a serious indictment. Chair, how long is this investigation been in place, and when do you envisage completing it? That's the first question.
Guma, you respond to that question.
Chairperson, we have been trying to deal with the qualification on irregular fruits and waste food comprehensively from the financial year 2014.
Envisage completing the investigation when?
Chair, our plans are to finalize the investigation to get an unqualified audit report this year.
That's a separate matter.
Yeah.
You must endeavor for a clean audit regardless. The when do you envisage completing the investigation on the matters raised by the AG?
Chairperson, if you allow me, there are two elements to this. The first one is to get the disclosure right. Then, depending on the root causes of what caused either the irregular fruitless and wasteful, we will...
No, wait. We are talking about those whose disclosure has been finalized. We know this is irregular.
By the 31st of March, we would want to deal with that.
This year?
Chairperson.
Right.
So, Chair, from 2014, 15, 15, 16, the year ends. My question is the audit committee in place for month-on-month reporting, quarter-to-quarter reporting, and for you to satisfy the AG, with documentation when it comes in for audit? So where's the audit committee? Is it in place? Is it functional? And I would want to come to who are the people on that audit committee? Because the temptation is always to sort of want to divert to the AG, and we forget about the in-house systems that should be in place. Because if you've got an audit committee who picks up on these things and you're not taking them seriously, then in the first instance you are guilty of wasteful and fruitless expenditure for not even taking those people seriously when you are remunerating them. Or it's either that those people are ineffective, inefficient, not fit for purpose, and that on its own means that is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So I want to establish the state of health of the audit committee in its entirety and all its complexities, and then have they raised the matters which the AG has picked up?
Yes, Chairperson, there was an audit committee until the board was disbanded. The audit committee has actually been picking up these issues, and we actually, as part of the action plan that we developed to deal with the disclaimers from that year, have been having monthly meetings of the audit committee to deal with these matters. The issue that we have at hand, Honorable Chair, is that the historical information is the one that we're battling with. That's prior to 2014, because we have agreed with the AG that for this note to be dealt with, let's ring-fence the process from 2012 up to the current year, such that the opening balance will be from 2012, because years before that, document management was an issue. And may I state, Honorable Members, that the first disclaimer that we got in 2013-14 is what actually awakened the SABC to deal with these matters. And it was then when I joined, as you rightly say, from the AG, I joined in that I say that in order to properly deal with this matter, since we have been having qualifications in the past, and the qualifications have been around the completeness of the information, I would implore them to go back as far as possible to make sure that if there's a qualification in 2008, nothing in 2009. I mean, 2009 there was a qualification. 2010 there was no qualification. 2011 no qualification. Another qualification in 2011, 12, then a disclaimer. I said there's something wrong with this note. So what I suggested in the action plan is that let us get a team to go back to 2008, deal with the figures. But when we looked at that, the document management, as the Honorable Member there said, document management was not correctly done at the SABC. However, I did not want to abandon the process under the guise of document management, because if the research brought out information, let's say for argument's sake, that 1,000 runs was irregular or fruitless and wasteful, and we needed condonation, it would be impossible to go to the board and say, condone this. They'll say, on what basis? So that's why I said, stick with it until we can get pots of information. We say over the years it's 5 billion over the spread of years. Let's say from 2010 to 2016, if a certain portion is X billions for which we do not have documents, historical information, then that we shall package and say the Board of National Treasury, look, we have looked everywhere.
Right.
At the
okay.
We don't have that information.
Right.
So there is some method to this note, but if you give me time, I'll explain.
You know, here's my difficulty. Speaking about 5.1 billion rand, 1 million, 2 million, okay, let's assume it doesn't raise any eyebrows, 10 million, 50 million, at what point, what must awaken the SABC to say, whoa, there's a problem here? Must it really reach 5 billion rand? For all intents, I don't think it's excusable or justifiable. If you are saying that the audit committee was meeting and dealing, what was it dealing with when this problem just continued to escalate? I'm just not convinced that dealing with it, such a broad term, what does that mean? What does it say when it continues to escalate? Because, Chair, here's the thing. The management report shows that 44 alleged cases of fraud and corruption were reported through internal mechanisms in prior years. And 13 in the current year. 19 cases resulted in disciplinary action in the prior year, and 9 in the current financial year. Only 3 cases from the previous year and 1 in the current financial year were referred to law enforcement agents. So, now, you've got cases here, speaking about consequence management, you can just see on its own, of the 44, probably only of the 44, only 19, so 28 resulted in any action being taken. Why do I raise this, Chair? You've got a pile of things in an investigation, and we're being told that the information that was collected and given to us last night will be concluded on in 30 days' time. Aye, Chair, I most certainly do not believe that. Even if you paid me the 5 billion rand now to believe it, I wouldn't. If you are still collecting this last night, and you say that by the 31st of March you would have been done with dealing with this, I'm not sure, Chair, whether the issue of systems is in place. Chair, that I'm highlighting these things, Chair, to say before we deal with the transgressions of the staff component leadership, the fundamental question is, are systems in place which observe the PFMA and Treasury regulations? Because from where I'm seated, you know, Chair, I always say this, I said it yesterday. My son is 5, Chair, and I always say, when he's at home, he behaves, because there's rules. When he goes to Granny's house, because Granny is full of love and so on, he does whatever he wants, even jumps on the bed. So what is happening here? There's just no system. There's no consequence management. There's no accountability. and then it results in this. So I want to find out now, does the SABC, notwithstanding what my colleague has pointed out about the granting that 5 billion rand is a drop in the ocean, considering what has been done, do you actually take this 5 billion rand issue seriously? And then demonstrate to us that you are dealing it in a manner which demonstrates seriousness.
All right. Comrade
Chair. I'm about to round up.
Comrade Chair of the Portfolio Committee, welcome. Welcome, welcome. All right. Are we dealing with these matters
in
a serious manner? And do we have the necessary internal mechanism to assist us to manage things in terms of the law?
Chairperson, we take these matters extremely seriously, the issue of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The mechanisms that existed at the SABC were definitely weak for identifying and reporting of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. They were weak, and we have remedied some of them, and some are work in progress. One of them, which is fundamental, Chair, just to give a context to the figure that the Honourable Member is talking about, was around the policies and procedures that we had. Before 2013-14, when we got that disclaimer, the policies and procedures of the SABC on supply chain management were not aligned to Treasury regulations. One particular case in point.
Why were they not aligned?
I believe that probably they were not reviewed annually.
Why were they not reviewed?
I would believe it's the board that probably did not review them annually. Or if they did, then probably they missed up one item. But I will tell you specifically one that I found to be a bit problematic. It was the area where it did not require original tax certificates, clearance certificates. So over the years, from 2008 to about 2013 when the policy was changed, people went acquiring goods and services from suppliers without even asking for original tax certificates. So you would find that, for example, we spend over $1 billion on content per year, and our expenditure is about $2 billion on any other acquisitions. So to the extent that any of those suppliers did not give original tax clearing certificates, that amount was deemed irregular. The Honourable Member is saying, why is this amount increasing? It's because we put in place a team of an independent audit firm to investigate this amount, to dig in. So with every amount that they are discovering, then they are adding on to the figure. So this figure could grow. But just on original tax certificates, we are talking of amounts coming to billions of rands. The acquisition was made, but there was no requirement in policy to ask for an original tax clearance certificate. When I joined in 2013, lucky enough, there was the policy that was approved that required it. Now, you can't find irregular expenditure necessarily coming out of tax clearance certificates. So those are the sort of historical issues we are dealing with. Another one in point, Chairperson, is a case where you would find that
that's fine. That's all right. That's okay. Yeah.
What I want to point out is that whilst that has been said, that things were not reviewed and it's the board, the financial statements submitted for audit were not prepared in accordance with IFRS, as required by Section 55(1)(b) of the PMSMA and Section 29(1)(a) of the Companies Act. Now, I've asked about month-on-month reporting. We've been told that the audit committee was meeting monthly. Come end of the financial year, you need to submit your financial statements, and they are not within the prescribed format. So then, what confidence must we take, Igeoguti, the audit committee was dealing with the matters when the final test, which is the submission of financial statements, says something else? That's why, Chair, I'm saying that the fact that it's being referred to as not being reviewed and so on, and then it said it's the board which was meant to review it. Isn't the board dependent on the structures put in place in order for it to make informed decisions, such as the audit committee, for it to point out that you need to review these things? I want to look at the functionality of these structures, and I'm not finding any functionality. If financial statements are submitted in a manner which grinds against the grain of the PFMA and the Companies Act, I want to understand. So you've got people there daily sitting there being paid, some even getting bonuses, being paid to prepare financial statements, and they go and prepare my financial statements are wrong. But they've been paid. That's why I'm emphasizing what Honorable says. This is public. Why? How does it happen that a corporation such as this is ginormous and titanious and big as it is, doesn't even have the capacity to submit financial statements for audit, which are in keeping with the prescribed format?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. The financial statements that were submitted in 2016 for audit may not have complied with IFRS for the following reason. We were working from a disclaimer in 2014 dealing with audit issues. In 2015...
Well, wait. Yes. I suppose submitting financial statements not in accordance with the law or regulations cannot be explained away. I think I thought you would say, well, yeah, we had let it slip and will submit statements that are in line in accordance with the law. So that we don't go back and make whatever justification or explanation, because that explanation does not change the fact that it's wrong, and wrong things are not supposed to be done. I think that's the bottom line. Or if you were saying, right now we have everything in place, our submissions, like this year, will definitely be in line. Then you at least say to us, we have made progress. But if you take us back, we'll only be telling us more about the problems that were there than giving us a sense that there is something that is being done to transform or to change the situation. Because this point is, you have officials, qualified people, paid, like you have a CFO now. I mean, if this year we find that you had submitted statements that were not in accordance with the law, and yet you have a CFO who is sitting here, who is probably qualified, does not have an honors in history, but has done, you know, financials, we have a reason to ask, but why? Because you have a person who is supposed to do the right thing. I think that's the point he's making. There is an expectation, a legitimate one, that officials must do the right thing because the prescriptions are there, the guidelines are there. Now, if you can't even do that, then what more should we expect? I think that's the point that he's making.
Maybe I was honorable chair. Taking a long route to explain the problem, but they were not submitted in accordance to IFRS because we were fixing the adjustment on TV licenses, which was a problem. So what the AG does is that the moment he finds a material matter that needs an adjustment after he has submitted the financial statements, then he's going to put that clause. So we had a qualification from 2012-14 regarding TV licenses. So when, by the time we submitted the financials, we were still working on that figure.
Right.
And that's the reason why that clause was put there. But we submitted ultimately the final financials complied with IFRS, so
okay.
You had no qualification
okay. All right.
And presentation.
Okay.
Chair, so 14-15, there were findings. What steps were taken around those before we arrived?
I want to run away from the temptation, Chairperson, where we just clump these things together and pretend as though they all happened at once. The beauty of the cycle is that it allows a moment of reflection. One of the things here, Chair, which is a big problem, if I can be clarified, asset management. Proper control systems to safeguard assets were not implemented as required by Section 51A of the PFM, which in summary states that the accounting authority must exercise the duty of utmost care to ensure reasonable protection of assets and records of the public entity. That's basic PFMA 101. In fact, it's not even 101, it's like grade 1. Before even you get it, it's grade 1. It's not even 101, not even there. Was this a first-time finding in 15-16? If not, what action steps were in place to ensure that it doesn't arise again? But I'm getting a sense, Chair Oguti, the AG raises matters, and we read them and noted, pass, tick the box, don't know, say cool mail, and then all right, let's move on. But there's a point, Chair Office, which I want to make, which would probably be the second to last thing I want to raise, and I'll ask Honorable Boy to continue.
Where are we with asset management?
It wasn't the first time it was raised, because in 14 we got a qualification in PPE. And the reason for that is that for the past 10 years it hadn't been counted. So what we did, we...
Look, sir, we are in a serious meeting here. We're not at your place. We want you to answer the question. Don't give us your narrative of what you think. Tell us what exactly is going on. Be honest to us. You are inviting us. We are trying to be patient with you. We are inviting trouble with us. Tell us exactly what has happened. That's what the Honorable Member wants to know. And we also want to know what exactly. You going to and fro and being pompous about yourself, we're not interested in that. We're interested to know from you, on record, what is exactly happening. And that's what the member wants to know. Just give us history of this problem. Tell us where is the asset management.
Asset management, we are currently finalizing the verification of assets to make sure that our assets are complete. And I needed our chairperson for the members to understand that it's going to be very difficult to give answers to some of these things if I do not give you the history of these matters. Because I came in 13 and there were issues there. So it's going to be very difficult if I cannot explain these matters. Because the issue, chairperson, is that in 2012-13, when we got a disclaimer, assets had not been counted at the SABC for 6-7 years. There was no asset register. So what we did when we set up that action plan was, first of all, to get a team of service providers to help us count the assets. So in 15, this final year, this year that is under audit, what we were doing here is we were still in the process of making sure that there is credibility in that asset register. That is why we don't have a qualification. However, the AG found that the process of counting was a problem. And we didn't even have an asset team to count. So what I did is set up a team to count assets, and the process is continuing. We even changed the policies, which were not updated for many years. It was changed and approved in 2015. Okay. So this note here is just saying that they found challenges. And I agree they're challenges. But the historical context that we built an asset register that did not exist for 6 years needs to be understood.
Okay.
Who has been auditing the SAPC? Maybe if you take me back, let's start year on year 2009. Let's start there to date. Who's been auditing you?
Chair, that's a very interesting question. 2012-13, AG came in. Before that, it was private audit firms.
Okay.
So you have been audited. You've been paying exorbitant amounts of money. I would like a breakdown, please, in writing. How much have you been paying these corporations who've been milking the fiscals. Because if they've not been raising these matters, then that on its own is wasteful expenditure. You're being audited in a vacuum. So I'd like a breakdown of the cost of audit of all these, and list them who's who in the zoo, who was auditing you, so that we know who it is. I don't see why people don't enjoy the confidence of the AG, who is very reputable. I'm not here to bet for the AG, but I would like to take comfort and confidence that the AG does well. But for some odd reason, we feel that there's a need to just go and play footsie-footsie with the private sector for them to audit us, and then we waste money, and then they fail to pick up on the core issues. But their business is not a national interest to generate money and profit. The AG as a state institution is putting the national interest first. That's why they're meticulous. So we want to know how much you've been paying these people and whether they were appointed in a manner which is satisfactory and in keeping with the law, so that it was not just a friendshiply arranged process. Chair, here's the question. I'm asking for a written submission now on the issues of the Rwanda response. I want a detailed explanation and so on. Chair.
When can we get that information? What's today, Wednesday? Can we get that by next week, Wednesday?
Consequence management. When you transgress and a finding is made, then surely consequence management must kick in. But here's the finding. Disciplinary steps were not taken against officials who made and permitted irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditures required by the PFMA, as the entity is still in the process of investigating and quantifying the details and amounts. Right. That's the second part. Hold on, Chair. 14, 15. There are findings made. Are you still investigating AMA findings at 14, 15 in order for you to institute consequence management? For me, it says that the capacity is not there. It says that HR on its own is questionable. It says to me the audit committee on itself was not taking this matter seriously. It says that the leadership on its own papered over this, because really, I would imagine, Chair, that financial sanity, financial says if a finding is made, you need to set into motion a corrective action plan or a response to that. Now, if you are not going to have consequence management, you allow those people to take us another free run where they know what, there's no punishment here. You can just do as you like, so on. So I'm checking. But right, we've been told end of 31 March, all of this that was still being collected as of last night will be completed. But surely, what has happened to the findings of 13-14 as far as consequence management is concerned? So that at least I can still good to know there is a legitimate attempt to punish. People must walk the plank. My expectation is that if I transgress parliamentary rules, I must be fired.
Okay. All right. Shukumban. Okay. I don't know if you want a response. I'm taking your question as I don't want to say rhetorical, but it merely drives home the point that you have been making from the beginning about management. Management and processing. Let's come back to it at some other point if you feel. But I want to give comrade. You're rounding. Okay, no, that's fine.
Chair, I will accept that your intervention, save that we would want Chair to get now a separated a schedule or breakdown of transgressions year on year, not for them to be clumped together.
because we also need to gauge the pace of these things. But you will find repeat offenders. I've scanned through this document. Already you can see, here are the speedsters. Here. But Chair, the final point I want to make is that, it's the first point I made, that the SABC must not live in an ivory tower over there as if it's untouchable and its finances are the exclusive domain of the leadership. But Imalium Pagat, as a taxpayer, you know, as a TV license payer.
A license payer.
I expect whether it's 250 rand, if I've made a payment, I expect that 1 rand to be taken seriously. But can you imagine a situation if we said people must not get paid? There would be an upset in the institution if you said the leadership, no, don't get paid, because obviously in this chaos you are not effective and efficient, let's not pay you. Now, the inverse of that is that if the taxpayer feels that their money is not being taken seriously, what prevents the taxpayer from having his or her own upheaval? Chair, I want to stress, see, this document here, a reprimand, the leadership must reprimand some who was responsible for ensuring that we receive this information on time. But the only conclusion I can arrive is that we are being set up to fail. Well, there's this perception out there that MPs don't know anything, you know. And one of the reasons is that now you're receiving a document, now you're going to try and look smart and find one page and then speak to that page. And then people say, So, Chair, I want to support the proposal that colleagues have made, that one, we take SABC as a special case, that, like the other entities and departments that we have had, and that, Chair, we have an in-loco inspection at SABC, and then speak to the issue of document management at the SABC, because that on its own is an indication of systems which are not in place, and then Chair, a schedule of these audit committee meetings, and what was discussed, not decisions were taken, and were those decisions in response to the findings of the AG or the other funny auditors that were in place before, so that we can lay a foundation of assessing whether the financial health and the financial management actually is responsive to the PMMA. Thanks, Chair.
No, that's fine, Comrade Boy. Let's see, that's what he was able to do on a regular expenditure. It was fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Is it? Okay. No. Let me give Comrade Boy. When it's done, then we'll all... Yes, when it's done, the two of them were allocated. No. Well, because see, the issue here is that we're not dealing systematically with the issues because of the way information has come. I actually want to check. You might actually say I have nothing to ask because there's nothing to ask. And then we'll just close the meeting. Yes, Comrade Boy.
Good morning, sir. We're dealing with a matter of 5.1 billion. Can you break it down for us to explain to us what's been going on? We know that your systems are already in place. I know that you are trying to find some condemnation about 1.1 billion. What has been happening in the SABC? Just give us a sense, because quite clearly, even you say you are saying, I know my colleague says I must not quote, but I have to go through the documentation. You say you are trying to upskill people to improve on procurement. How does those things happen when, if I can talk to you, you say, well, from our own research,
where issues of human resource have been reflected and opened up by our researchers. They will tell you that there hasn't been good assessment of the people that they are employing. Some of them have got the criminal records, and some of them don't have certificates. Now, who are you really training? And who are we talking to? Who are these people that, in the 3,000 and something people that they're dealing with? You see, we want to caution the SAPC. You see, you have got a record in the SAPC that when you are being interrogated, you threaten people. When people talk about your institution, they disappear. Now, here we are members of parliament. Whoever has got a syndicate within the institution, we need to caution you about that, that it might not work. But in terms of the law, we are functioning with the scope, with the hawks at this particular moment. But those
yes,
type of threats.
Long disbanded.
Yeah. No, I know that. Yes, I'm sorry. It's a slip of tongue. Those type of threats are not going to be helpful to you and your institution, sir. If you are used to threaten people and instill fear in them so that they don't question you, forget about that one. We are not going to be threatened at all. We're going to do our work in terms of what we are being expected to do. We want to go to the bottom of this 5.1 billion. That is corruption. And we're going to deal with it in that particular focus. Now take me through, sir, that who are you skilling and de-skilling in the institution with a background of this nature, that there are people who have got criminal records, there are people who have not even citizenship has been verified, that who are they, and they are in the employment of the SAPC. How does these processes work? Because these are all contributors to the problem of this irregular expenditure.
Thank you, Honorable Boy. The issue of upskilling is issue of the members of the supply chain management team that we have in the at the SAPC. One of the weaknesses that we picked up is that they have not even been vetted as required by the PFMA. We, as the SABC, have tried to discuss the vetting issue, and it's a matter that is being raised by the unions, is that if somebody is already employed, how do you go to vetting? But I agree with you, vetting has not been done, and that is one area of concern. We've discussed with the department that we will have to, unions or not, have to make sure that as required by, you know, National Treasury Regulations, that members of the supply chain management function need to be vetted. That one we have agreed with the department. We'll have to push it through. The skilling is around the staff members in supply chain. Historically, at the SABC, what happened, Honourable Member, is that supply chain tended to be a dumping ground for officials. So you would find PAs and all sorts of people in supply chain. Now we, as part of dealing with this audit
right.
query,
okay.
picked up that they did not
right.
have skills,
right.
and that's why we sent them for this
process.
It's fine.
I want him to continue.
Yeah.
It can be that it was a dumping ground.
You know, that's what he says, which is good. That is the honest point of view, that they've been dumping people. Then SEM is part of the biggest problem in the SAPC. They don't have recordings. That's why he can admit himself to say that PAs can pay and sign off.
But you see, comrade, my point is it is a strategic decision.
Yeah.
To deploy the people with those particular set of skills that are wrong for that position in order for people to achieve whatever they want to achieve.
No, that's you are correct, Chairperson. That's why we have to be quite friendly with the SAPC to find and go to the bottom of the problem, you see. One of the accusations from the Auditor General is that you guys don't have respect for the law. You don't follow legislation in the SAPC. And I'm sure the way you are covering us, you should be hearing us every day in Parliament making laws. How does that come? and how are you going to overcome this problem? Because you've got no regard for the law yourself as an institution. That's why people are being threatened in your institution when they raise different point of views. What is going on exactly?
Chairperson, I would hesitate to agree with the AG saying that we do not respect the law. If it's in relation to supply chain, one of the first things we did was to make sure that the policies and procedures talk to the law.
Well, I think...
So I would disagree
with you that we don't respect the law.
No, wait.
I think just understand it in its proper context. All it's saying is that you do not have a culture, generally, of people following the prescripts of the law. And we can go to supply chain management. It is an area where the laws and regulations are not being adhered to. So that is the context.
Chairperson,
that you have a problem in terms of compliance.
You see, Chairperson, you should allow him to express his feelings. They've got no regard for the law, so they don't respect any other institution that has been put together by the Constitution, you see. As we celebrate 20 years of the Constitution, in the SABC with its management, that is what. They don't listen to the law. They don't care about the law. That's why he has got a total disregard for, I mean, the Auditor General. I respect it as a Member of Parliament, but it's created by the Constitution. They've got no regard for the public protector. So he's expressing the inner feeling of the institution. Leave him to express his feeling. We'll meet him on the battlefield. That's what he. That's how he's conducting his business. He doesn't understand what is the Auditor General looking for. Even now, in his innovative plan, he is going for an audit company that is private before he even continue respecting the work that is being done by the Auditor General. So those are your basics. If ever unemployed by the laws of South Africa, you respect institutions that have been created by the Constitution. He's got no regard for it. It's good. Let him express it. It's our job. We'll be meeting him in this battlefield. Let him continue, Chairperson.
No, I want you to continue. I want you to continue.
Who are these? You see, I just wanted to continue on this thing of scheming. And because you have got a history of not filling of vacancies. How do you do that? Who are the people that they are dealing with? And where do they originate from? Because, one, you don't have respect for citizenship. I mean, you don't even know what is going on with that type of legislation. You just employ each other, you meet each other in Johannesburg. Yeah, all I'm saying is a Sunday, nothing down there. That's how we are conducting the institution. Is that the correct impression I have as a politician?
Chairperson, it's going to be very difficult for me to answer that question because I do not understand the context in which the member is raising those.
The Auditor General says you've got no verification of citizenship in your system. So what is not right or wrong with that? You know who's South African. That's what the Auditor General says, that you don't have it in your employment, in your HR. You don't have respect for that law. That's what I'm trying to find. I'm reflecting on what the Auditor General is telling us, not what you are thinking. This is all I'm interested in. What is it, and how do people get employed in the SABC?
Chairperson, people get employed two ways. The first one is we can put an advert in our policies and invite applicants to apply for the job. And one of the issues that we do as part of the employment is to actually use an external verification company. And we do that. What is not being done, and I agree, as far as the SABC is concerned, is obtaining clearance in certain cases where senior managers or executives
why
have to be evaluated
done?
By...
I think let's start with why is that not done? I think that's the important...
The issue is that there were defects with the policy that did not require that. So we verify with the private private employment agencies on citizenship, qualifications, we do that.
You see, sir, one of the things that you must learn in the process here is that we are parliamentarians and we write the law. And if you say to us there's a shortcoming in terms of our laws, say that to us. Don't mislead us. That's how genuine we want you to be. You see, because if you can't, and the Auditor General says you can't verify citizenship of the people, it's not in voting only. You're supposed to be hearing the language of the person you're supposed to be. The person who's supposed to have admitted a CV that explains from where does he originate is supposed to have a physical address. How does that happen? You see? How does that happen? That, because there's a law that guides you. If you don't understand it, ask somebody else to be able to get to you, to explain to you what is this verification of citizenship? Why is it so important in an institution like the public, broadcaster? It got consequences, but this is where we spend our money, South African citizens. Each one of you is getting employed. We spend money on you, you see. And that doesn't go to the board. It's you managers that are supposed to have been able to tell us who is being employed and why would the Auditor General have doubts about this particular development, about the citizenship of people in the SABC. He brought it to our attention. We don't work in the SABC. We trust, some of us, we trust the Auditor General. And SCOPA relies on the Auditor General to be able to do its work. The Auditor General says to us, you are not verifying the citizenship of our people that you have employed.
Has that, I think maybe to take it, because I think that's what might assist, has that policy defect been addressed?
Person, we have reviewed the policies and that is being dealt with now.
Okay.
The problem is that you are not accounting, you see. I'm not like the chairperson. You are not accounting. You don't know what is accountability. Ken, where have you reported this particular matter of the defects of our policies in the SABC? Because the portfolio committee is here. They will tell us that they have never heard or heard about you saying this policy defects and how does those policy defects affect your work. Have you ever reported back to Parliament about this policy defect? Because they have got implication consistently for all the majority of work that they are doing. You don't know how to do procurement because you don't understand what the Treasury is. You see what they are saying to us, that in all the period that we have been in power, since in the 22 years that we've been in power, because you came in, everything is under review. Is that how the SABC works? Because I wanted to know from the background that in your history and your background, you don't tell us at which stage didn't you understand the laws that the parliamentarians have written for this country in relation to the SABC.
Chairperson, we set up a compliance division in 2014, thereabouts, and they went and reviewed all policies and procedures at the SABC. And one of the issues that they found out is that policies had not been reviewed for many years. So as I said, some of the repercussions of that is the disclaimer that we got. So we have started reviewing them. The first policy that we reviewed was property, plant, and equipment, which we've done, and we've resolved that qualification. The second one that we gave priority to was the HR policies, and those have been reviewed. However, because of the issues involving unions and so on, they are being rolled out slowly by slowly because we have to negotiate with unions for some policy changes. The third one that we have done and approved, reviewed and approved, is the supply chain management policies. So, Chairperson, yes, whichever defects that we picked up that led to a disclaimer, one of the instruments that ensure that internal controls work is usually policies. So when a policy is weak, we have reported this to the audit committee, and we are reviewing them. Those major ones have been reviewed because those three lead to the largest expenditures that we have on our income statement.
Okay.
So, sir, as dissatisfied as I am about this thing, are you going to give us a written report of this review, all of yours? Can you submit it in so that you should know exactly what are you talking about? Because there's no way that you're going to... I've never been, because you're not a writer of the law. We are the writers of the law.
You're supposed to come and tell us what is shortcoming in the laws so that you can be improved. If it's regulatory, we'll deal with that particular matter. But if you say there's defects in the law, then there's something wrong with us as members of parliament. That seems that we don't understand how we write. That's why maybe my honorable member says the fact that of how you undermine parliamentarians is because you think that they don't understand the law and they've not written it properly. No answer on that one. Let's move forward. Would you have in your HR criminal records of employees? And how long does that problem go back? Because it seems as if that's part of the defects that they're talking about. Where are the criminal records? Will you have information for us in concrete terms that how many of the people that are being accused and which the Auditor General have established that in the institution have got criminal records? Who are we talking about? So that we know that as we watch our TV, as we spend our money, we know that we're watching some criminals. Can you give us guidance?
Chairperson, I can establish that from the HR system. I wouldn't be able to give you a number now, but I can give you a written report on what we have in our records, if you allow.
So how vast is the problem?
I
and how long over the years? Because your auditing was always done by private companies. So there's been collusion with the private companies to be able to do this type of things. So now that the Auditor General has come on board, that's why you hate him, because he's a very good institution. He investigates, and that's why you feel that he's hurting you now. Now, since the Auditor General came into the picture, he had come across the fact that some of these employees of SABC have got criminal records, like they are criminals. Would you be able to give us that history and give us the background of that? Because it's very much important. You can, if you don't know, sir, I hope in the papers that you have destroyed, you'll find this type of information. If you can't, we'll ask the Hawks, but they've got forensic experts to help us to find this information.
Chairperson, I wouldn't want to say I know the number of people with criminal records, because one day somebody can be, you know, today may be innocent, free of a criminal record, tomorrow he drinks and he gets arrested. So I don't know. What I can give you is I can look in the HR records and say at the time of recruitment, but I do not have the records of a continuous taking on criminal records. That one I honestly don't have that capacity.
We will take your opinion. The Auditor General is seated somewhere down here. He'll tell us how did he come to that conclusion. But I thought that you are a respectable man. You are honest. You know what is going on in the institution. You don't take a job as an occasion to go out and earn a salary. You are supposed to be known by your facts. 1, 2, 3. This is what the Auditor General says. I can pull up that particular file. That's why you brought your information late last night. Because your conduct talks about you, that you know that you want to hide information from Parliament, and you don't want us to be able to know that information. So that's why you brought it late last night, because you knew that you yourself don't even know what is happening in the SABC. That's what they are saying to us. That's what we are saying to us, that I don't know what is happening in the institution. The Auditor General is just walking around the corridors, picking up information from individuals. I, as an acting CEO or group CEO, don't know what is going on in the institution. Is that the impression you're giving us? And is that what about you, that you don't know what is going on in the SABC?
Chairperson, that's not the impression I want to create. And I will state that I'm also an auditor. So what really happens is that they look at new recruitment, and that is where they get the criminal records. However, I need to say that if somebody was recruited, let's say, 4 years ago, it's at the point of recruitment that we check the criminal records. So the current criminal record I will not be able to establish, because it's not part of our policy. I wouldn't know who has committed a crime. Honestly, that one I don't know, and it's not part of our procedure. But at the point of recruitment, we do test that from our agencies.
We have got a record in our country of fate.
fake certificates, you see. We know a lot of people fake around and create certificates about themselves. And we've been able to, across in government, come across those type of things. Now, I'm talking to you...
Just a minute, Kumri.
I'm talking to you about the Auditor General getting into your institution as an auditor who comes from the Auditor General's office. Are you saying to us that institution, you have got total disregard for it? You don't respect it. It doesn't have the necessary people that could be able to be filled in the Auditor General. And as parliamentarians, we should have the same attitude that you are having. Because you say that you are an auditor, but this information that you need is not on table. And you wouldn't want to go and check the criminal record, but the Auditor General wouldn't find anything wrong to inform parliamentarians and inform the citizens of South Africa that in the SAPC, that people have got criminal records. We didn't go, the chairperson didn't go, he doesn't even have an auditing skill, the chairperson. He shouts too much politics and looking for Azania. But the reality is, do you have... Do you have the Auditor General, is he misleading us? Is that what you're saying, sir?
I have utmost respect for the Auditor General. So much so that I'm even recruiting some of their staff just to improve the internal controls of it. What I'm just saying is that the existence of criminal records at the SAPC, there may be staff members who have criminal records, but right now I can't give you the numbers unless I go to the HR system. But I'm just putting a joiner there that it will be...
No, let's do this. I think the point here is not so much what you have on your fingertips and the fact that your system allows these things to filter through without being detected. I think that is the point. You know, so which means when you go to your HR, yes, you may find the records, you may not. But fact of the matter is that your HR policies and systems are such that they are not able to pick up at that point of recruitment people who may or may not have criminal records. I think that is the point.
No, the chairperson is raising the point, but I'm still saying, chairperson, historically they don't have documents in the SAPC, and that's what the Auditor General have come across. Now, we've been in government since 1994, so I want to see when does the institution get so broken down that it in itself, it can employ criminals, it can find people who are non-citizenship, and the documentation keep on disappearing. For record purposes, because what we are asking us to go back to is what has gone wrong, so that the citizenship of South Africa knows that the expenditure of 15.1 billion, how does that happen? How do you, in your normal mind, in your honest mind as a Christian, chow and spend 5.1 billion. How does that happen? What the Honorable is saying is that at least when a 10 cent disappears in your family, you might say, no, it's not right. But when a 1,000 disappears in the family, you start knowing that you've got a criminal in the house, and you must investigate. But for the SAPC, and from what you are saying, sir, in how you are handling consequences, that when it's 5 billion, and what your other person was saying to the press, no, that's peanuts. It's not something to be worried about. Now, to me, there's a lot of issues that are beginning to prove that that type of an attitude is born in the SAPC itself, that you don't care about the money of the public, about the money that you are making as the public within that. You just eat it as peanuts. Because you yourself, in your report, does say that procurement, even PAs, they leave the reception office there and they go and sell anything that they want and nobody cares. And that, you say, is the defects of the law. And you have not produced anything that could be able to provide us with evidence that the law has not been able to guide the SAPC to do its work.
And as this is what the Auditor General says, that you have got no regard for the law as employees of the SAPC. So you have an institution that doesn't care. It doesn't need the board to be compliant. It doesn't need the unions to be compliant. You must desist from the idea of trying to blame other people and don't blame yourself in how you conduct the work within the institution. And what I'm trying to sketch out to the chairperson and my colleague is that this leadership that is in front of us is misleading us. It's not telling us the truth. And it would need us to be able to rein them in, because you can't mislead Parliament. That is in the PFMA. On that, I must tell you, it's got consequences. And if you don't know, sir, charges at this particular moment, when it comes to irregular and fruitless expenditure, are beginning to criminalize this type of activities. That's why we've got the hawks inside the institution. But this is criminality. It's worse now. You are saying to me there's so many criminals within the institution that you don't even carry any knowledge about it. Good morning, lives and whatever. I must now watch them with some suspicion. But they might be criminals.
All right. Look, comrades, we I know how. Oh, okay. I want to give you, comrades, but let's keep in mind the fact that the sentiment has been that we should engage the SAPC continuously, so that together with them we can isolate areas of challenge and agree on what needs to be done to ensure that those things are sorted out and it moves out of its area of challenge. So we're not going to be finishing everything today. And I want us to be really focused, because there are so many things we might find ourselves in the bush in the end. Comrade Chilwane, Comrade Kuno. Yes, okay, fine. I'll move along. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to get the clarity from you, so you, in terms of proceeding with the meeting, you're saying we just focus on irregular expenditure and wasteful, or should be any other issues that we can pick from there?
Well, I haven't stopped comrades from raising general issues, but I'm just saying that was actually straying away from why the SABC is here. They came here knowing that we're coming to deal with irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But I allowed some leeway in the context of what we have in front of us, which indicates that broadly and generally we have a problem. So, I don't know, let me hear you.
Okay, Chairperson. I've got a few questions on irregular expenditure. One, Chairperson, out of the 5.1 billion that was incurred in terms of the irregular expenditure, there's an amount of 225 million which was incurred.
Is there a page?
Which incurred, Chairperson, due to inadequate monitoring of contracts. One would love to know who was responsible in monitoring those contracts and what happened to that particular official. Probably maybe before what happened, what was the explanation? Why did he or she fail to do the work as expected? And what were the consequences management against that particular person? That is question number one on the irregular expenditure person. And then the second one, are you noting it? Oh, you will remember because I've got just a few of them. On the declaration of interest, there are a number of discrepancies that happened to add to the irregular expenditure. There are two SABC officials who did not declare. The committee would love to know who are those two officials, what happened, and how much have they added into the irregular expenditure.
Then there's, I think it's on investigation. In terms of the annual report, there are investigations that were not concluded. The committee would also love to know what are the reasons that have caused those investigations not to be concluded. I know the other one is still under investigation. It's emanating from the issue that was raised by the public protector in 2014. I know it was part of the discussions during the together with the ad hoc committee, but it also appears in the annual report as mentioned by the AG, and as well. Mr. Rajitangan maybe will be able to assist on this one. There's an investigation that is done by the National Treasury on contravention of the supply chain management. If we can get a progress report in that regard. My last question for now. When you go to commitments, that is shown at page 133 of the annual report, chapter 5, table 5. The SABC has committed the amount of 1.9 billion for this financial year. And the past financial year, it has committed an amount of 1.6 billion. And according to SABC, is that this money will be financed, will be raised internally. And in terms of this, commitment. One would like to know how are you going to finance this commitment that you have done already, and why is it going to increase on a yearly basis, because for the past 2 years it has increased. And especially on the film and sports, the SABC said it will be financed internally, which means that you have already entered into an agreement. Why do you enter in an agreement with something that you have not budgeted for? You budget it internally, whereas you've got most of these discrepancies in terms of the financial health in the SABC. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right, because the question we numerous, can we respond to them briefly before we go to Comrade Kuno?
Thank you, Honorable Chilwani. The first question is around the 225 million relating to split orders and so on. The people who caused this is the buyers in procurement. There's several buyers who acquired goods and services in procurement, so they are the ones who caused that amount. And the second question is declaration of interest. Yes, the AG gave us a schedule of state officials who trade with the SABC and specifically highlighted two officials of the SABC that are trading with the SABC. How much they have added to the regular, I'm not sure to date, but I can write and give you an explanation. But I'll also just have, if you allow me, Chairperson, just to tell you that some of those figures that have been shown there, we are having discussions with the AG in that regard. The reason being that you would find, for example, I used the example in the portfolio committee yesterday, that Mam Teresa Heldenais used to work for Mutual and Federal. So on the CIPRO system, she's shown as a director in Mutual and Federal. And because the SABC has dealings with insurance companies, it also comes out as a match. So we are in discussing with the AG saying that she's not a director of Mutual and Federal, we know that. So we may have to look at that schedule. So we are investigating this. There are issues around the CIPRO system. So that we shall investigate, Chairperson, and we can give you the results on that. That certain people who have resigned or even left employment in certain areas are still being shown as part of the CIPRO system. But I've had a discussion with the AG team around that, making sure that they need to then go and confirm that these people have resigned. The other one is investigations not concluded by National Treasury. National Treasury has written to the SABC letters inquiring, asking for information around certain transactions, one of which was Vision View and Sikela and Lona Vision. They wrote directly to the SABC, and we have reporting protocols in the SABC whereby we ask departments to communicate directly to the Department of Communication, then sends the requests to us. So what the SFCC did is wrote back to Treasury and said, please, we have an agreed reporting protocol with the Department of Communication. Please send that letter to either the DG or the minister so that he can send it to us. And the reason for that, Chairperson, is that we do not want staff members at all levels communicating out. So we have that reporting mechanism. The National Treasury has not come back to us with regard to that request to send it to the accounting authority. So that is the investigation that is underway, that they are requiring information for. And we want to submit the information, but we're saying, just please, we have these protocols, please follow them. You have asked about commitments for the financial year. The amount that you see there of 1.9 billion, Honorable Chilwani, talks to long-term contracts that the SFDC enters into. For example, we can enter into a contract to commission generation, or we could also enter into a contract to acquire FIFA rights for World Cup. So the build-up to the games may be 4 years from the day we enter into a contract, or for generations we usually sign 3-year contracts. So you will see that at year-end what we say, we haven't got the services yet from FIFA because maybe the games are going to be played in a year or two. So that amount that we have, that we may pay in future is what we have disclosed as commitments. But it's the nature of the business in that you will always sign long-term contracts for sports rights, FIFA, and you know maybe PSL, SAFA, and so on. So the amounts outstanding are what make up the figure of commitments. We haven't yet received the services, but we're saying when we get to that future date in the contract, we may have to pay these amounts. And you have said, how will this be financed? A lot of the content acquisition and refinance of our income statement, meaning that when we, in the current year, sell advertising space around generation. The money that we will save in our reserves is what we use, what we are saying that we shall use to then pay for the future costs that will come. So we are going to finance it off from our cash reserves. Why has it increased? At the portfolio committee yesterday, we explained that usually it depends on the schedule, because SABC expenditure on content is determined by the schedule. So you will see that, for example, if there's a World Cup happening in 4 years, we can sign the contract today for, I would argue, maybe about $10 million. 4 years previous to this contract, they may have given us the rights on $7 million. So in our discussion with the Portfolio Committee, we say that with sports rights, we are price takers. We don't determine the price. Somebody walks in with a briefcase and he tells you, you paid $7 million, today you've got to pay $10 million. And we don't have a lot of leeway to negotiate around those areas. And also, you will notice that if the schedule has to change, let's say we want to bring in a new drama or a new series, usually local content tends to be more expensive than foreign content. And we have a 90-10 policy where we're saying, let's have more local content so that we can invest this money in the economy. So that is why you see that increase in the costs.
Okay. Yeah.
Just two follow-ups on the $225 million for which happened due to inadequate monitoring by a particular official. We've asked, is that official still in the employ of the SABC, and what happened? Are there any consequence management? I didn't hear you when you respond to that one. And secondly, Chairperson, for the on my own interest in terms of the commitment that we've made. You've mentioned things like your sports, your FIFA or generation. I remember in the previous years there was a mention of saying SABC has some open, what do you call them, open-ended contract with some of the people who are doing some, those that watch on TV, those soapies. Do you still have one, or have you started to? I know, Chairperson, probably just for my own interest and for the interest probably for the public, maybe the portfolio committee have asked that question. Just to check, have you renegotiated that those open-ended contracts that you used to have, because they were charging a lot of money for the coffers of SABC and South Africa at large? How far have you gone to? Do you still have some? Just to mention, for instance, you had The Bold and Beautiful and I think Days of Our Life, which has an open-ended. No, Mvango is okay, it's our own South African soapy. But I mean those international, I'm not saying we don't want to watch them, but we know them. But that open-ended thing of a contract, how far has it come to? Because it might be the one that is increasing this commitments, liabilities. Thank you.
Okay.
Chairperson, the $225 million, the split orders, the person ultimately who is responsible for ensuring that those split orders didn't happen. That means you don't circumvent going to tender by splitting orders, is the head of supply chain management, and we don't have that head of supply chain management currently there. He left the organization. The other question about evergreen contracts, that is also one area which we have ring-fenced. Around content, we don't have evergreen contracts because we can terminate those contracts. It's part of our contract that we can terminate them at the election of either the SABC or the supplier. So we don't have evergreen contracts. However, there are some which have been brought to my attention as part of this investigation about some contracts that were signed even in, I think it's 1984, somebody told me. I've asked for a request. Because to get this note correct of irregular fruit laser, I unfortunately have to jump in the back and I'm getting all this information. So it has come to my attention. I'm going to look at it and see, because that can't be right. So it's a journey of discovery, Chairperson, that I'm following and trying to deal with this matter. But I can tell you that the number of evergreen contracts, I'm told, compared to the past, when I was not there, it has reduced significantly. But as and when they come up, I'm reviewing them.
Okay. My Chairperson is intimidating me.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, when he answers, you know, the issue with the interest part of it with our committee is that when somebody answer a question, it then open up. I just want to go back to the issue of the head of supply chain management, because Chairperson, he says he's gone, he's no more there, probably. I don't know whether you don't have anybody who's acting in that regard. Because, Chairperson, like I'm saying, it then open up. Because one of the issues that was raised by the AG is that SABC, they don't follow due processes in terms of their supply chain management. And now when you ask this question, then it open up to another one that there's no supply chain management person in there. And whereas some of the issues which have been picked up by the AG is that this supply chain management, or also even the irregular expenditure, happened because there was no one or whoever who was there could not follow due processes in terms of what is expected of him or her to do that particular process. So I want to check in terms of the PFMA, because the accounting authority should take reasonable steps to discipline that particular person who has caused the entity to be involved in this kind of magnitude offense. You might call it an offense, because 5.1 billion is a lot of money. What happened? Where is this person? Can't you follow and put up some disciplinary measures, take some disciplinary measures to that particular, because he has really compromised, he or she has really compromised the SABC, because 5.1 billion is a lot of money. We might talk like it's a small money, but it's a lot of money. Hence I'm saying, Chairperson, as we continue with the discussion, it open up so many things that we might want to pursue, but maybe we might put it as a food for thought, because we're still going to meet the SABC. But I just wanted to state categorically that there's no way that the SABC can operate without a head of supply chain management. I think that is contempt of the PFMA. Thank you.
All right. Let's have it as food for thought. Yeah, no, I'm coming. My understanding is that in relation to the 225 million, the person responsible for that amount has left. So they might have employed somebody else, but in relation to that figure that you quoted, that person is no longer there.
Thanks, Chairperson. As long as that person is not dead, I think the person can come in to the committee and tell us how did he spend that 225 million. But Chairperson, I also have a few questions that I wanted to ask. And my first question is that, do you get performance bonus, and what informs that? Since you have shown in your type of answering that there's non-commitment and there's a lot of negligence as far as SABC is concerned, that's how you have assert yourself here. The asset register that you spoke about, that you had to go and employ consultants. We've talked a lot of departments and its entities out of employment of consultants. We have vacancy rate in South Africa is really quite high. And, you know, I'm asking myself now, and that's the, one of the questions I wanted to ask you. How much did you pay for that consultant for the asset register? Since you said you are almost 90%, can we get the copy of the asset register as soon as possible? And maybe with that, coupled with that, do you still have consultants? And what are those consultants doing? Because I think we need to get to the bottom of lowering the vacancy rate in South Africa. 150.1 million was made close to, it was spent or made available to members who were part of SABC, the close relatives and associates. I need to know here and now who are those employees who did contracts with the state up to 150 million rands, and what did you do as the group CEO to deal with that? And then 2 hours to the value of 5.5 million were made to persons in the state. Who are working for the state? Who are those persons, and what are you doing to deal with that? Comrade Nyami Boy spoke a lot about human resource and its problem, and the recruitment processes that were not followed. And there's an amount of 92.5 million. Which talks to exactly that, the processes that have not been followed. How much have you paid for cancellation of contracts and any investigations that you have made? I mean, maybe it's because maybe they are here, but we didn't get enough time to deal with those investigations. If you can just verbally respond to that. And how many employees have been disciplined so far? You have given us a report, and I think obviously from that report there are some steps taken to make sure that some of the employees are disciplined, and we want to know so that, you know, this notion of kukwagogo, anything can happen here, we deal with that and right here and now. And maybe I think this is not the only entity or a department that does not follow PFMA. Maybe we need to have, I mean, you know, just thinking out loud, Water Affairs was one of those departments that did not follow PFMA. They have their own supply chain management policies which are not aligned to what the PFMA is saying. And I think you need to come up with a strategy of sure that a lot of...
See, comrades, the danger is that by the time you finish, they may not even remember the first question.
Oh, okay. No, I just want to emphasize on the PFMA. And, I mean, the one of the problems of not... adhering to the PFMA. They don't have internal audits, and that's a problem on its own. So that's why I was saying that there needs to be something, and Treasury has to take part in making sure that this is really taken seriously. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Who was next? Comrade Mente. Let's take Mente, and then you respond, and then we'll take Seth and Ross, and then where is Bob? I do want to say, comrades, that it will be the last. We were meant to talk about irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And I thought, with the constraints that we have in terms of details, any discussion will center around primarily that. Otherwise, if it just becomes about anything and everything, then we lose the focus. Yes, comrade.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I want us to go back to basics.
on the issue of the findings of the AG in terms of irregular and fruitless. Number one, earlier on when the group CEO was responding to Tengwa's session, he cited that, which is also in their presentation, their regulations or their policy didn't require certain things. Now I sit here and I refuse to accept that. Why? When you are employing a manager in SCM, the basics of the interview is PFMA, is triple PFA, is treasury regulations, and now there's a PEM Act. Those are the basis of each and every interview. Then that person comes into the post, forgets that the PFMA, the treasury regulations, the triple PFA requires of them, and they stick to a policy that say, no, do not ask for the SARS certificate. Do not vet this person. When an HR manager is employed, they must understand EEX, they must understand labor relations, they must understand the human resources and the PEM Act. But they come to office and they do the opposite. Then the reasons that are supplied to us are that the policy within the department, which is the SABC, were not aligned with the law. But the manager sat in an interview and was deemed fit to understand the law. How is that possible? How is it possible? I refuse. I can't take that excuse. It's just not an excuse. Otherwise, we have a person who was never interviewed, is getting a huge salary, and doesn't care about everything else or doesn't even know about the law. But they will just use whatever document is there to govern that particular department. Then number two, Chairperson, is the duplication that the group CEO is talking about, and I'm worried about that. You are saying you have hired an independent audit firm now to look into these nitty-gritties of the Auditor General. But earlier on, you indicated that your internal auditors actually did their work in terms of highlighting to you the problems and everything. And then the Auditor General comes and confirms them. Now, you want to say the SABC does not have capacity to identify who hired the car, where, for how much. That must go to a private entity that is going to cost the state another huge sums of money. And that is not allowed. We cannot allow such. It's something that you have known of, confirmed by the most credible institution, which is the AG. You still take it to another person to pay that person to do that job. Where is it going to end? Thank you.
All right. Can we respond to
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. With the asset register, we will submit an asset register, the current one that we have, and also the cost that we incurred to hire the company to help us compile those records. The question of bonuses, the SABC doesn't pay bonuses to staff members regarding...
Does not pay or has not paid?
Has not paid bonuses to staff members. What you saw in the annual financial statements was relating to the 13th check that senior management had not been paid, and in order to bring in parity, then that amount had to be settled. In the previous year, it was also an amount that was paid to staff members because the board recognized that the staff members had, especially the middle to senior managers, had contributed a lot during the turnaround of the SABC from, you know,
what about the lower
having not funds.
They didn't contribute anything.
Yeah, they also got that once off.
No, but you said from middle to senior management level.
What drove it was that they needed to give middle to senior managers,
well,
who sacrificed.
That's fine. So that's the question. So the lower levels didn't contribute anything. They didn't sacrifice anything.
They did, and they were paid the amounts, but for them they didn't sacrifice their 13th check. Because even during austerity, the lower levels still had their 13th check. The list of 150 million submitted list of employees of the SABC. Those employees, honorable member, that we are talking about who have dealt with the SABC, employees of the state and so on, is a result of the Auditor General running the employment records of state organizations against CIPRO, then they run it against our database. So we have found that the 5.5 million that was made to awards of people working with the state could be, for example, a couple of officials, municipal officials, let's say, working in the Free State or the Northwest. So there's nothing the SABC can do with that. We, as the SABC, can't do anything about that. But the staff members, that's the 5.5 million that you said was made to people working with the state. It could be, for argument's sake, somebody who is in the Northwest in a municipality has a company, then he supplies the SABC. We wouldn't know what that until the AG tells us, because we don't have the capacity to detect. We don't have access to the payroll records of other state organizations to check. But however, when I was with the AG, I knew they reported that as part of their general report to show that officials are trading the state. However, those who are employed within the SABC, as I've said, we are reviewing that and we're having discussions with the AG. I gave an example of the GE of risk.
So are you saying that all those findings, all of the findings of the Auditor General, insofar as people at the employee of the SABC, they are all wrong?
I'm not saying they're wrong. We have them, and we're investigating the issues. But I've given you a classical example that came on my desk.
You're giving an extreme example, which sort of rubbishes almost everything else or casts doubt on everything else. I think it would have been fair to say we're investigating and leave it at that.
Okay. I will, as I said, Chairperson, submit you to the committee the results of that visit, because we are discussing with the AG. That report.
Are you discussing with the AG or investigating the matter?
No, we're investigating and also asking the AG where they got the information, because it's there, it's from their report.
All right.
The other one is how much have employees been paid for cancellations of contracts? I will submit that to you, Chairperson, if you allow, because we did prepare for that. And how many employees also have been disciplined? I will send that information to you. The hiring of SABC. Staff who may not have the necessary skills. Chairperson, I agree with you around this issue. It is, or let's say it was a problem, because we had a skills audit that we conducted and it picked up these issues. So what we have done currently is we have reinforced the SABC supply chain function. We have hired. We've gone out and hired people with skills and the necessary skills. But it's true, it was a concern that you would find that in that case of tax clearing certificates, it just didn't make sense, especially to some of us who came from outside. How did somebody review that? So we know that weakness, and it was a historical problem. We are dealing with it. Currently now, we have a head of supply chain who is a capable individual, and we are also recruiting capable skills from sister state entities that can lend expertise to the SABC. I can give you assurance that we have hired people and we are dealing with these matters. why hire an audit firm to assist us when we have the staff? Chairperson, this was a deliberate decision because, one, in 2013-14, when they tried to deal with the problem, we recognized that it would be a problem to send the very people who did not know that you need a tax clearance certificate to look for the same problem. That was one thing. Second other issue is we also wanted to create an item, an element of independence, that we select an audit firm that is skilled in detecting irregular fruit and waste foods, such that there's an item of independence.
No, wait, sorry, let's leave it at people who didn't have skills, you see, because if they had the skills, then they will do the work for you. Otherwise, if you can't trust them to objectively do work internally, then they should not be hired, you see. So let's leave it at that level of skills. Continue.
Person, that's my comment.
All right.
In answer the cancellation of contracts, because that will be irregular, how much did they pay for those cancellation of contracts? And is there any officials who have been punished or investigated as far as that is concerned?
Chairperson, I said I will submit that information. I will tabulate it and submit it to you because I haven't prepared it.
Okay, Chair. Just like he has assured us in terms of the SCM managers and skills, can he make the same assurance about HRM? Because the HRM is also in the very same predicament, and they even fail to assess the managers correctly so and pick up that they are not working.
Chairperson, I can say that we identified the same weakness also in HR, and we have recruited necessary skills to strengthen the HR function.
Right, Tim.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I apologize for being late. There's traffic from the airport is crazy these days. So please stop me if this question has been asked, but I don't think it has. I'm concerned that in your presentation relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I can't see the page number of it here. Anyway, you state that you're also going to do the classifications of all, you're going to be going through all these instances of regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and you're going to be basically using criteria to decide what they are. And you indicates on this particular page that all travel and accommodation cancellation fees, charges, stroke charges, were previously disclosed as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. However, some of the expenditure has been validated as justifiable based on the nature of the business. I just want to put it to you, and I don't want to get into an argument now because you're going to be coming back to the committee. Please don't come to this committee and tell us that people who don't pitch for flights and people don't pitch for accommodation is justifiable in any shape, way, or form. I'm just giving you a friendly warning to avoid being attacked, okay, because that won't wash you. So be very careful when you look at that, right, because that comes down to simple planning. And as I always say, where's your calendar, okay? And then the next thing I'm concerned about is the, in the additional information we got was the HR issue. Now, Chair, I'm raising this, and I'm not trying to deviate away, is that this, you've given us an undertaking in your presentation that you're going to give us a full report by 31 May. I believe my colleagues have pushed you to give it to us in a month. But you've got some HR vacancy issues here. And I'm just wondering whether you actually have the capacity to realistically provide that report to us in a month to go through 6 years of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure and actually come with a detailed report of what you're going to do, what you are doing, what's happening. Is that realistic? So that's my second question. Then finally, on this additional information you sent us, I'm not sure if you, I think you did send it to us, yes. You say your HR has got an indicated increase in vacancy rate from 3.1% to 7.4%. Are you familiar with these percentages? I'm sure you must be. senior management vacancy rate from 8% to 14.7%. And then, importantly, in finance, the vacancy rate is 5% and the internal is 4%. Can you express that to me in numbers of people? It's difficult to gauge when you say 8% to 14.7%. How many people is that actually? How many posts is that actually? And also, is that a percentage of the entire of the SABC or a percentage of that department that you're talking about? I think that's very important for us to know. Thanks so much.
Ross?
Just three very short questions. With regards to the investigations, do you have any cost analysis, what it will ultimately cost you? A lot of the investigations has been outsourced. Have you made a cost analysis, and do you have an indication that you perhaps could provide us with that? And then secondly, with regards to investigations, the proposal from one of my colleagues with regards to the Hawks' involvement in terms of a forensic auditing help that we can get from the Hawks, is that accepted? Is that a proposal that you will perhaps find helpful in this regard? Perhaps to minimize cost also, and then with regards to regression in leadership, as the Auditor General indicated, and he tried to do it in terms of time frames. Now, within those time frames, I would appreciate if we could perhaps I've missed the names of this delegation today. Is it possible that you could send us just a document with the names of the delegation currently today, and perhaps on which date you started with the corporation? So to give us an indication as to since when were you involved, perhaps not to blame people that came very late on board, etc. When you see implosion on leadership and what the AG actually meant, and see when people, how long have people been in the institution, and give us more clarity with regards to that. And then just the last very short question. Irregular expenditure is a serious offence, a possible serious offence in terms of non-compliance and legislation. But also the state, in terms of the implication on the fiscus, where you find guarantees to these state-owned entities. Were there any guarantees, and what were the guarantees given to your corporation?
Right, can we, may we respond to the questions from the...
Thank you very much. I will send the information regarding the fruitless and wasteful that we are reviewing, and the explanations. I understand you don't want an explanation, but when we've gone through the schedule, we'll just put the reasons, and you will understand how those cases, cancellations, happen at times. Is the date of 31st March 2007 realistic? It's a very, very tight deadline, but that's what we have agreed with our service providers. However, as I said, it's two levels, chairpersons, that we want to make sure that the numbers are good for disclosure. Then when the numbers are good for disclosure, depending on the causes that led to those numbers, then action is going to be taken thereafter. And I would really state that probably a mistake that I made was not to process people as it came about. I wanted them to be looked at in totality and dealt with, but I think probably that was an error, which I will accept. I wanted people to package them as root causes and who is concerned, then we deal with them in totality, know that person X caused X billions, person Y. But as on a piece-by-piece basis, I thought maybe would not be effective, because you may deal with a person with 5 million, then later on when he's out of the building, you find he has caused 50 million, and then it becomes a problem. But I agree with that. I'm going to ask the team that as whichever data they have, let's just start taking people through the meal. Whether it's realistic, Honourable Member, the date that we have put there is 31st May, because that's when we wanted to submit the financials. So we said if it's good for disclosure, then the other bit of the disciplinary will depend on the circumstances. For example, if we find obvious fraud, then we shall send it to the police. If we find that it's just something that we can manage internally, like somebody's fruitless and wasteful, we'll send them letters, demands for payment, and so on. So it depends on the nature of the of the infringement of the PFMA that could lead either to irregular fruitless and wasteful. But certainly, with the police, we have a lot of interactions with them, especially Brixton Police Station, that in cases where we find fraud, we send them up. You may have noticed, Chairperson, that last year we let go of 123 staff members who were involved in medical aid fraud, and some of those cases have been listed with the police. The previous supply chain manager is also listed with the police in a criminal case, not the one who just left, was let go recently, just the one before. So there are interactions with the police. Our forensic unit does that. A cost analysis of investigations, I don't have that information here. I will prepare it for you and send it. And also the names of the delegation here, because we entered the organization at different times in the year and found existing problems. But we are not running away from the problem. We are there. We are going to deal with it. But we can't say that it's not challenging. We take full responsibility because we are the only heads on the block now, and we've got to deal with that. Guarantees to the SABC, we haven't got any guarantees given to the SABC because we don't have any need for them now. However, we as part of our treasury processes, we have facilities open with the bank. I think last time I checked was about 90 million as normal treasury processes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Comrade Kikani. And I want us to round this off. And I'll give Comrade Kikani, Comrade Boy, you had your hand up. Right. We'll check with National Treasury, but also the department. You have been sitting, you have been listening. We also want to check one or two things with you. Yes, Comrade?
No, thanks, Chair. I had a list of questions, but because you indicated that we would still have another engagement that is with SABC, I'm not going to raise them. I would only raise two now. On the issue of HR and going through the AG's report, he has found that there were appointments made that is on posts that were not advertised. My question is, which posts were those, and can we get a quantification in terms of the salaries involved? That's one question. The second one was, apparently there was no investigation on the suspended officials. The question there also would be, who are those suspended officials and how many are they? I think those are the two questions that I wanted to ask.
Okay, thanks. Comrade Boy?
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to question the Group CEO that the level of our engagement today, sir, you have weakened it because you have given us false information, but it's fine. We are going to carry you until we are confident that the SABC is out of the woods. We are not going to be compromised by you in the way you have delivered. I've read your document again. It's very inconsistent. It's not in terms of what the Auditor General have identified as irregular expenditure. It's in terms of what your thumbsack as information and brought to Parliament. That is gross violation of the engagement that you have through the PFMA. I want to give you respect as an auditor, but it seems as if you've got no respect for what the Auditor General or all accountants around the world give respect to. I want you to take that on your own consciousness. Misleading Parliament is a serious crime. You can't lead our institution based on that type of a view. And the fact that you disregard and continue as I was listening to you, you've got no respect for the Auditor General, and that is a problem. But I would encourage you, sir,
your comprehensive strategy that you call turnaround, would you submit it to the chairperson? I'd want to encourage you, sir, your condemnations that you want to negotiate with Treasury, would you make sure before they go to Treasury, you fire them here in Parliament? Because you would want to be more interested in that type of work. That why are you soliciting condemnation when you, for a matter of fact, know that you haven't had a history of documentation. You continue using private companies to run the institution. And who would want to know those private companies? Give us the list. It might be brothers and sisters within the institution. Would love to hear that. And we would want you to continue giving us the list of people that are biased, that you're working with, so that we could, as I said to you initially when I started, we're interested to the detail of that ANN 7 deal with the SABC. We want the rents and cents. We're not interested in the policy. We want to know how much are you spending in these breakfast shows, and what is it, what bearing does it have for the finances of the SABC? It was said publicly that you are spending money on that thing, and nowhere in your reporting does it come out. Give us the random sense and give it to the chairperson. But me and you and your team chief, it's not the last day today. We are going to be engaging you. But quite clearly, we have a serious problem. You are misleading us. You are lying to us. And that I'm not going to compromise up. I'll tell you the day I'm convinced that you're telling us the truth. Of now, you are lying. You're not telling us the truth. You're not able to give us who are the family members in this team that is doing business with the SABC. You're not able. And the Auditor General says these things. These members are not asking questions from the street. We've got so more than, I don't know how many departments are we monitoring day in, day out. We don't bring gossip to Parliament. We don't sit here and gossip about you, because we don't know you. We know you as employees of the state. And as long as we have to do a job of looking after you, sir, we have to find out. If you are doing business with the state, give us the honest fact, who is it? So that you can also be convinced. But if you can't, there's something wrong with the institution. But thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. All right. I want us to wrap this up. Comrade Kuno.
I just wanted to say that, adding a little bit on what Comrade Nyami has said, that a lot of jobs here have been outsourced, which is a grave concern. And I was just talking to my colleague here earlier on and saying, you know what, one of the things that is a grave concern to us as members of Parliament, because we are the ones who appoint a board of SABC, and to the public out there, is what is the root cause. And I think the root cause, some of the root cause is that most of the departments here within the SABC are not functional at all. And I think it's about time that you go sit down, Chief, together with your acting whoever, and try to find a way of meet us halfway and tell us what are you doing with government's money. If it means people being if it means people losing their jobs, let it be. But again, we are not going to sit down here and listen to you, you know, outsourcing everything to the service providers. And we really want to see that that report, because it's really important. If we have a vacancy rate that we're talking about and you keep on outsourcing everything, I think it's a problem and we are not going to getting away with it. It means SABC again is going to get an opinion again, a qualified opinion again, one more. And we want to help you. It's not for us, but we want to help you and make sure that as a national broadcaster, there's a difference that you are making to the people out there. Thanks.
Okay. That's fine. Start.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to respond to one issue, the investigation by National Treasury. You see, the reasons for not submitting the documents, it depends on who is or who was in charge of the SABC. we requested some of those documents in 2015, and early in January 2016, Mr. Matlala, who was the CEO there, group CEO, undertook to submit them, and a day before he was going to submit them, he was suspended. And then Matthews was appointed, Mr. Matthews was appointed to act, and he started giving new reasons why he's not going to submit until he left. We wrote now to Mr. Aguma, who's now acting, and I hear the reason that he's saying is the reason for not submitting. But otherwise, we will submit all our correspondences to the committee so that you can read and decide for yourself.
All right. Comrades, please. Please. Oh, please. Let's remain focused. I think there were questions that Comrade Kekan raised. Can you respond to them?
Honorable Kekana, the appointments that were made without adverts, I can give you a list of them because I'll not be able to establish them. Plus their packages, I'll also submit them in a written format. Plus also the who was suspended and why, that talks to the AG's report. Then I can give it to you in writing.
And Chair, the other information that I requested is the quantification in terms of the salaries.
Salaries, yes. I've taken that also.
So.
Well, maybe let me start with you, CFO, the National Department. Your own understanding and analysis, and how you have sought or seek to assist this your ailing entity called APC.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Members have said a lot of issues, and I agree that certain matters will show that we have taken note of what they have said and we will make follow-ups. But from where we are sitting as the Department of Communications, in relation to the AG matters, we have requested SABC to do an AG action plan from 2013 and 14 in terms of their qualification issues. And we look at the reasons that they put and the actions that they say they will commit to deal with that. And I think what we have raised in the last session we had with them is that instead of focusing on the AG qualifications only, because I think that is where the challenge is, we must also go and develop the management letter action plan, because that is the key challenge in terms of dealing with the root causes that we have as an institution. And that will assist us to deal with all these issues that the members are raising. Because when you focus on the qualification issues, it's only what the AG has raised, that is on the basis of this qualification we are dealing with. And we focus on that, and we leave the other internal processes behind because we didn't put the action plan that will deal with that. And we have agreed that moving forward, we would love to see that action plan that addresses the management letter issues that have been raised by the AG. And hopefully we'll get an assurance that most of the things won't repeat themselves moving forward. But Chair, also to say that because we're focusing on the qualification, you will see on the report that there were reduction in the qualification of the audit's findings from 8 to 3, and then now we are remaining with this irregular and fruitless expenditure. And Chair, I need to say I'm happy that the SABC was asked to come to this committee to understand. When we say we need to be accountable, what does it mean? Because sometimes when you ask certain information, it becomes very difficult because you are a shareholder, you are not supposed to interfere in certain processes. So you are limited to what you are given in terms of the information. But being exposed to this committee, for sure, for now moving forward, they will understand how do we need to assist each other in making sure that we move this process forward. Chair, I must say that in terms of all the entities within the corporate, within the department, we have what we call the CFO's forum that works on this AG matters. That meets on quarterly basis to look at what are the issues, and even coming from their performance report, what are the issues, because if you look at the entire annual report, one of the issues that was raised by the AG is that their targets are not smart, and as a result, it becomes very difficult for them to audit. So we are at a point even where we have instituted the strategic planning forum, where we will deal with these issues of indicators and matters so that when they come at the end of audit, the AG can audit what we have agreed. And what we have agreed on the process moving forward is that as soon as we have developed the plan, we must give them the AG to audit them until before we submit to Parliament for adoption. And if we can move in that direction, Chair, we will eliminate a lot of challenges when coming to the annual report. I must say that one of the things that I've spoken to the leadership in the SABC was about the issue of the system internally at management level that must deal with this matter. We have agreed that we must have theft and losses committee that meets on regular basis. Because if you have that kind of a committee, it able to deal with all these small items that the members are raising. If there is no show, there is no flight or whatever, the committee can dispose those things before even the AG could come and elevate these matters to this level. So if we can agree on those simple things to put in place, Chair, we can take the SABC forward. But I must acknowledge that from the meetings that I had with the SABC in relation to their audit opinion, the issue of leadership instability in the organization is a challenge because it also accounts on the accountability part and who must take responsibility. I'm raising this in relation to Honorable Tsengo was raising about the issue of the audit committee and what was it doing. And this is the challenge that I've raised to say, if we have to blame everything now on the supply chain, what comes to me is that the board that was there at the time that these things were happening, what were their competency level to deal with this matter? Because the policies of the organizations are presented to the board that must approve those policies to be done in that manner. And that raises a challenge to say, maybe the submission is asked to this parliament as to do recommendation for appointment of this board member. This is an issue that must be taken into consideration to ensure that people that are appointed at this board level, they are able to deal with issues of governance. Because if at board level they can't say no, it becomes problematic if management is find a way of just putting the report through. So this is a mechanism that we will love the parliament to assist us in making sure that we get people that must assist the shareholder in terms of managing this issue. The other issue that we have raised is the issue of records management. Because, Chair, when I saw the annual report, I said to them, and the CEO knows, I said, you are lucky that you didn't get this claim. Because from my experience is that when the AG audit you and you can't submit the document, it's automatically a disclaimer. But I think the AG has given them a benefit of a doubt because of the processes that they have put in place to make sure that they clear this document management. But we have also advised them to discuss with the National Archives Board to assist them in terms of records management and filing, because it's very crucial when coming to audit matters. And if they would deal with that, the GCO has agreed that he will action that processes to make sure that from now moving forward, they will be able to account properly in terms of the documentation. And the last thing, Chairperson, we have agreed that in terms of preparation of AFS, when we do submission before we do the submission to the Auditor General, we have our last CFO's forum meeting around the second week in May, just to go through all entities' supply chain and analyze them, whether they have complied in terms of the framework and the SAPTAP and all those things. And that is assisting in terms of making sure that we are able to correct each other and make sure that when we submit a proper document. But the challenge becomes that we can look at the face value of the information that is given. We are not auditing what has been presented. And becomes a challenge because when the auditors go there and audit and they find something that is material that leads to qualification, automatically they come with this standard. It's a standard clause that the statement you have submitted, they didn't comply with PFMA, IFRIS, and all those lot of things. And I think this is the challenge that we are having to say, we are discussing amongst ourselves, how best must we deal with that? And what we have done in the main department, we have started. Before we submit our AFS for external auditors, our internal audit unit looks at the report and the supporting document that we have done for the auditors. And that is the one of the best practices that we want to share with the entities in terms of making sure that their internal audit function within the organization assists them in dealing with this thing, because if they are independent, we expect the internal auditors in the entities to be independent of the management so that they can raise this matter sharply and they must respond to them as if they are responding to the AG. And this can minimize the area where we find ourselves sitting in Parliament today. But, Chair, we are waiting for the final report, because in terms of the action plan, they promised that by the end of this financial year, they would have finalized this investigation on the irregular and wasteful expenditure. So we are waiting to see that report and see what did they do in terms of the final outcome of the report, because what we have made to understand is that if they can't clear this qualification, it will be a qualification forever, because it affects the opening balances of your books. So anything that affects your opening balance, it doesn't matter how good you can perform in this current financial year. If what you are starting up is not correct, forget about the outcome that will come to that level. So we are waiting to see the final report and see what kind of supporting document are we submitting for condonation, because in the last report they've given us, it's only 1.1 billion that we were able to verify as of that stage. So the 5 billion that they have to do to give us at the end of the financial year, what they must disclose in the AFS, becomes very crucial. And for sure, as we meet with the committee on a regular basis, we will be updating the committee in terms of what interventions have we done from the DOC point of view. And I'm happy that the members are willing to assist us to take them on hand and make sure that we account properly in terms of the process. Thanks, Chair.
Right. Thank you very much. Acting DG, yeah. Yeah, I'll come to small matter. at the end, small matter. No, I'm talking to Hlengwa. He also has a small matter.
Oh. No, mine is, ma'am, in the things that we do, in our experiences now, you see, when they say water and sanitation doesn't have money, and when the 30 days payment seems small companies are not being paid, it's because in your accruals and liabilities, because people want to satisfy the auditor general, they quickly hide and take those monies and throw them in there. So as you do that work, look for your accruals and look for the liabilities, then you would know that they are not regressing or they are going forward. But if you ignore it, I'm telling you, you'll be dancing at one spot all the time. And that's what the problem is with water and sanitation. I've been educated by the chairperson one day when he dreamed about it and he came and explained it to me. But also you must help them with spelling, Madam Chair, that it's SABC presentation to the Public Accounts Committee, not to the presentation to Standard Committee on Public Accounts. There's no committee like that in Parliament. That is violation of the law.
Thank you
very much.
All right. Let me give you Hlengwa, the smaller one. I want the DG to close.
The smaller one is the
chairperson of the portfolio committee. I'm sure it will be fair to give you a minute or two. You have been sitting quietly and listening. But let me hear Hlengwa, and then I'll give the acting DG to also say some smaller one with.
Thanks, Chair. It's a smaller issue, but on a bigger matter. Chair, I'm just wanting to plead, let's not convert coming to Parliament to junkets. The number of component of delegations need not be as large as I'm seeing today. I think let us just exercise that discipline and really bring people here who need to be here. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Acting DG.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thanks.
I allowed the CFO to go on and on and on because we're talking finances and she is the financial person.
I'll be quick.
Yeah.
I think my CFO has dealt with the issues quite substantially.
Yeah.
But I think the department started operation in April 2015. We have put it as our vision that we want all our entities to get clean audits. That is part of the message that we always send to all our entities. And I think sitting where I am, I've had an experience of experiencing what it means to get a clean audit. It's a very excellent experience, and I will want all my entities to be at that same level. I think the other issue that we have done to assist also to share experiences with the entities that have done well, we have also established what you call the DG CEOs Forum, which I chair with all the CEOs so that they can share experiences around how are they doing it in all of those entities, as it were. But this is governed by a policy that we have developed. It's called the Governance Oversight Entity Policy Framework that we have, which governs our relationships. But all the issues that you have raised that requires them to submit, we'll make follow-up, ensure that they submit to the committee as promised here. Lastly, Chair, to say thank you so much. I think for me, it's for the first time to be here. I always watch the scope from a distance, and I think it is a learning experience for me as somebody who is new in this portfolio, and I will try almost not to be here in this committee. But thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, we are the only committee that is trying to work itself out of a job, because if all of you get lean audits, then we have no work to do. And maybe no need for. But no, thanks very much. Comrade Chair?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And good afternoon, members and the department and SAPC. Nothing much except to say that yesterday we faced the same APC dealing with the annual report and Q1, Q2. But I think what we are dealing with here, particularly on Auditor General's report, I think that was part of our main focus. Just that we're dealing with a number of things. But members, I think they did a sit on irregular fraudulent expenditure, which is a major problem. So I'm like acting DG. I haven't attended this COPPA for a number of years now. It's my first 1 year. So I think the members from the committee together with me here, we agree that there are specific issues that you put your finger on. And I think those are the issues that we think that we'll also focus, particularly on the Auditor General's report. But thanks very much. We know that we can say anything, but we don't have that time. But thanks, Chair.
All right. Thanks, comrades. Group CEO and your delegation, we want to thank you for coming. And we sincerely want to see the SABC in a much, much better position, in a good position. I know there are people who are happy with an SABC in crisis because it gives them a program. But we want to see it being run well, being financially stable, financially viable, and doing the things that it is meant to do. But you see, I'm not happy with what you did to give us information at the 11th hour. That was wrong. And that should not happen. You see, that should never, ever happen again. Because, you see, We want you to come and for us to work together to find solutions. You see, we don't want to operate on the basis of Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion, action and reaction, a numerical equal but acting in opposite direction. We don't want that. Because the moment from this side we feel as if we're being undermined or we're being set up to fail, then it creates problems. So, do not want that. Whatever the problems or whatever the shortcomings, give them to us in time. We'll use that to engage and to find solutions together with you. So, want that to be noted. Two, Tombi, we need to go and reprint this in a much, much bigger font that I can read. Give it to members. Because I think there's a lot of information thrown in, but we're going to disaggregate it and make sense out of it. When did this happen? 2012, 2013, here's the information. 2013, 2014, here's the information. We want to go through it one by one. There's nothing that we're going to gloss over, no matter how big it is. We're used to receiving files in boxes. And we've gone through each and every one of those transactions because there is none that is going to escape our attention. Now, once we've done that, we're going to process it ourselves. And then when we schedule a meeting with you, we're going to direct you that on the basis of this information that you have, we want to look at A, B, C, D, so that we're not all over. And we'll do it like they do that side when they eat an elephant. We'll do it piece by piece until it's done, so that there's nothing that is closed over. Now, I hear you about you are going to finish these investigations end of March. You see, I want us to change approach. Those that are completed, they must be reported on. We can't wait for everything, because we need to have a sense of progress being made. You know, we must be dialectical in our approach. We can't jump like frogs from the starting point, just jump to the end. We want to see progress, because that builds momentum towards your end point. So we'll have this information, but we would want to start to receive information from you. Because end of March means you are going to be telling us on this case, this is what happened. You have not even started yet to deal with taking action against those officials to determine whether they have a case to answer or not. So you see that we're way, 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 way behind in terms of what we're supposed to do. So come the end of March, our expectation is that all these investigations must have been concluded. But we'll then also need to have an agreement in terms of how then do you set up dealing with the officials that are involved, so that in the case of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, money is recovered in relation to regular expenditure. It is condoned if nobody is held responsible. Otherwise, those officials' action being taken against them, or if they are criminal, then they're taken. So we'd want to see those things sorted out. The information that we agreed that you will send to us, Mr. Ben here is writing down everything. He has everything that you have committed to sending to us. We want that information by next week, Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday. There's a list of more than 10 issues that we want information on by next week, Wednesday, so that it can assist us in shaping our program with of engagement with you, which will either be here in Cape Town or will come up to the city, so that we can want to go to the belly of the beast and see for ourselves exactly what's happening. Where are these supply chain management people? Where is your human resource department, and what is happening? Who is doing what, or who is not doing what? So that we can not just tinkle around the issues, but we can really be guaranteed that there will be solutions. And I hope, Comrade Chair, that your own processes will be speeded up. Because you see, all the three officials sitting here, they are all in an acting capacity. And that being the case, to what extent does it impact on their ability to exert themselves on their job? Or they're actually busy looking for a job somewhere because they're not sure whether they'll still be the SAPC when you look for permanent positions or not. So we need stability. And right. Beyond the SABC, comrades, Dombi, I think you need to forward this to all members. The invite from the portfolio committee on water and sanitation on Friday. They have a hearing with the department and the minister on a whole host of issues that are here. They've invited us. They're going to talk about money in the department. So I think will be important for us to attend. We have affected our next week's program a little bit based on the decision we took yesterday. We have written to the Minister of Social Development to come on Tuesday next week. Just like we did with the correctional services last time, we have invited her, not the department, not SASA. We have invited her as the political head to come and talk to us on what led to the CPS debacle in terms of and I think depending on what she responds, the suggestion that some of us made here yesterday about calling for a comprehensive inquiry on the management of that CPS contract, we may go ahead with it, or she may satisfy us that, well, you know, we have nothing to plan. So we've written to her, we're waiting for a response. Just ignore the papers. We probably misquoted her. She accounts to Parliament. Parliament works through its committees, and one of them is COPA. And when we call departments and ministers to appear before us, they have always done so. And so she will come on Tuesday, and we'll have the engagement. Okay? Comrades, thanks very much.